God is always good, and His mercy endures forever. Before I get into the message, I'd like to go before the Lord with a prayer. My Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I come before you as a yielded vessel to speak a message of salvation to the congregation at Grace and Hope Mission. I pray that someone out there tonight who has not made a commitment to surrender their life to Christ, that after this message, they would do so. And we bind up all the evil forces that are trying to stop man from obeying God. And we just loose your spirit to have your way to save those who are lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The scripture reading tonight would be taken from the book of Luke, the 14th chapter and the 26th verse. Luke 14 and 26. Those who have it, say amen. Amen. We're going to start reading. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now Jesus Christ is telling us about the course of discipleship. Now we're living in a like to water down everything. In our society, people want to take the easy way out. But Jesus Christ is talking about a commitment to serve Him. Now, we know that the Bible tells us in the book of Romans 10, 9 and 10, if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and if thou believe in thy heart that God is risen from the dead, thou wilt be saved. That's how you come into the kingdom of God. But it's like anything else. When you get married, you have to make a commitment to keep the marriage. When you come into the kingdom of God, you have to make a commitment to do that which is righteous in the eyes of God. Now, the Bible also tells us in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2, about submitting our bodies and submitting our minds to the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the areas in which God wants to work with in us. Once we submit our minds and bodies to Christ, we will be a vessel for His glory. As we read in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we're living in a society that we have a lot of advertising. You notice you go up Broadway, you got these big billboards. The purpose of advertising is to win your mind over to their products. Now, the devil, on the other hand, he would use music, movies to get control over your mind to do things contrary to the Word of God. So God Himself wants us to use our mind for righteousness, not for wickedness. So that means when we come to Christ, we have to make a decision who would have control over your mind and your body. See, a lot of people like to play around with God. They say, well, I love God, but yet when you look at their lifestyle, you see no Christ. Jesus said, by their fruits, you should know them. So when we live this lifestyle of a Christian, we have to have, it's got to be a difference. Your body, your life, prove what's in your heart. That which you are practicing in your life, prove what's in your heart. Now, the Bible also lets us know that when a person gives his life over to Christ, God expects some things out of us. You know, when you go to a college, they expect for you to pass your grades. You know, you're paying your money. You know, you want to make good grades to pass. When we come to God, He expects us to be obedient. Jesus said in the book of John 14, 15, He said, if you say you love me, then keep my commandments. In the book of Luke, the 14th chapter and the 26th verse, Jesus said, if you got to come after Him, you have to hate your mother and father. Now, it may seem like God is contradicting Himself by saying that, but you got to understand God's ways. See, if you love anything more than God, you hate God. And if you love God more than anything else, it means to love less, to submit to God's ways and not to man's ways. See, Jesus said, if you say you love me, then keep my commandments. If you don't love Jesus Christ, you will not keep His commandments. If you don't love, that means you hate Him. So that means if you disobey your parents to follow Christ, in a sense, you hate your parents. But you're doing that which is right in the eyes of God. It is so ironic. We met a brother years ago, and he got saved. He was once a Roman Catholic, but he had a Jewish background. And so when he got saved, he used to read his Bible in his room a lot. So his mother is finding it very strange that he don't go out and hang out no more. He's always in his room reading, and he started a different attitude around the house, which was good in the eyes of God, but his mother thought it was very strange. So she came to him one day and said, "You know what? Why are you carrying on like this?" So he started talking about Jesus, and he said, "Oh, don't mention that name in this house. If you're going to talk about Jesus Christ in this house, you'll have to leave." So he left. But you see, people, because of the spirit of Satan, hates Jesus Christ. And if you make a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ today, you may lose your job, you may lose your marriage, you may lose a position on your job, you may even lose your life. But these are the days that we're living in. The Bible tells us about a way in which God wants us to live as Christians. We read in the book of Colossians, the third chapter, the first 10 verses about how God expects us to live when we make a confession to believe in Christ as our Lord and Savior. For the Bible said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, and not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify," that means you put to death, "those therefore your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desires, covetousness," which is adultery, "which are things, and for which things sakes the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience, and which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye are also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeking that which ye have put off the old man and with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him." God himself wants us to get all of these things out of our lives. Filthy language, filthy communication, lying, cheating, all these evil things that people get involved in when they're not Jesus Christ. It's because when we was born on the earth, we came on this earth with a nature that goes after sin. And the Bible lets us know that in order for us to serve him, we have to do things his way. And to do things God's way, that means we have to do things in righteousness, putting away lying. You know, people like to lie to get their way, to lie to get a position on the job, a lie to have an advantage over someone else, to just mess over the person. But God does not want us to do that, those who are bearing the cross of Christ. See, during the time of Jesus Christ, when you saw anybody taking a cross, that person was is in the process of being crucified. He was taking a cross for his own life to be crucified on. And when the Bible tells us to mortify, to kill, to that desire, it means your five senses, your flesh. Kill the flesh. Kill the desires that goes contrary to God. The Bible speaks about the flesh. The flesh is actually, in reality, the five senses: seeing, smelling, tasting, feeling, and all of that. But the devil uses these things as a way to control you, as a way to program you to live contrary to God's ways. This is why in our society, when you listen to some of these records, they're filthy. You look at some of these movies, they're filthy. In the book of Psalms 101:3, the Bible said, "I will not put no evil before my eyes." Because what you put in before your eyes will get into your mind and eventually get down into your heart. And when it gets into your heart, you're going to live it out in your life. Your mind is a very precious thing that we have. Now, I want to give you a test. Now, there are some people, maybe Ms. Muse or Brother Ed, may know these commercials. Back in the 60s, there was a commercial that said, "It takes a licking and it keeps on ticking." Anybody know that commercial? All right. You see how the mind is? Where is the beef? Anybody know that commercial? All right. Okay. It's another verse I'd like to tell you. Man that is born of a woman in a few days is in trouble. Anybody know that's found in the Bible? Raise your hand. Only one. That's in the book of Job, the 14th chapter. Notice you can go back 30 years to remember a commercial, but yet a verse from the Bible only one person knew. See, what are you putting in your heart? What are you putting in your mouth? What are you putting before your eyes? See, God himself wants us to make a commitment to serve him. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 24th verse, Jesus said, anyone that come after him must first deny himself and pick up the cross and follow him. You got to deny yourself of the pleasures of this world. Moses did it in order to become a vessel that would be used by God. He could have been Pharaoh, but he didn't, because Moses knew that he was not going to be Pharaoh forever. He knew that one day he would have to stand before the one that created him. So we have to make that same decision. Do we want to really follow Christ, or do we want to be what the world called just a Christian? You know, just go to church every Sunday, treat people nice, give money to religious organizations, and live like the devil. See, when you make a stand for Christ, Christ wants you to be different. He wants you to go against the flow. This is why when Christ died, many times he could have went along with the program, and he would have spared his life. He was asked by Pontius Pilate, "Art thou the king of the Jews? Art thou the son of God?" He said, "Thou have said it." He could have said, "No, I'm just only kidding around." But he didn't say that. He made a strong stand. He did not lie against the truth. So we have to realize when we accept Christ, there are commitments that we have to make to follow Christ in this world that hates God. This is not a loving world that we live in. We can see that all the time, how kids now are killing their parents and killing one another, how women are killing babies. This is an evil world in which we're living in. And it's all because man is turned away from God. And one day Christ will come back and put an end to it. Now the Bible also tells us in the book of 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, how Christ himself set the example of suffering. See, when you come to Christ, you may have to suffer to get away from your sinful habits. I know that sometime when you get saved, some of the habits go right away. I know what mean, the beer, the fornication, that went right away. But the cigarettes, that was another problem. But you see, I had to pray about that and had to suffer to get away from that one. But you see, God himself, he allowed this to happen to let you see the suffering of his own son, Jesus Christ. In the book of 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, the Bible said, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our lives may suffer us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in licentiousness, lust, excess of wine, raveling, banqueting, and abominable adulterers, wherein they think it strange that ye not run with them in the same excess of rioting, speaking evil of you." You see, God himself wants us to get away from the nightlife, to get away from the party life, to get away from the drugs and the sexual immorality, to go out there and live a life that is pleasing in his sight. Like I said before, there are some sins when you get saved, you have no more desire to practice. That's the mercy of God when you come into his kingdom. But there may be one sin. Look, I'm going to use this sin to show you the suffering of my son. Because I know many times I prayed about the cigarettes. And you know, when you get saved and you practice sin, it's not the same effect. It's not the same effect anymore. Because I used to enjoy those cigarettes. But when I got saved, it seemed like when I was smoking a cigarette, it was like a torment upon me. And I didn't like it anymore. So I started praying. I said, "Oh God, please take this away from me." And so one night I was in my room, I was kneeling down praying to the Father about it. And he revealed to my heart how I got started. I was determined to be a cigarette smoker, you know, because when I was young, I see these guys profiling with the cigarettes. They look good. You know how it is with young kids. You're trying to hang out with the big boys, but you're not big enough yet. So that's how I was. I got hooked. But anyway, I prayed about this thing, and God himself revealed to me how I got started. See, the first time I took a puff of cigarette, my eyes got red, my stomach, I was in a mess. And my stomach got, I started feeling funny, my stomach, my head started feeling funny, and I ran home crying, and my mom gave me some bitter taste of medicine, and I was moaning all night long. But did that stop me from going out trying it again? No! I went back and I tried it again until I learned how to smoke. So God said, if I can put the same type of determination to quit when I did to start, I can quit. That's what I did. I started resisting it. Oh, it's hard for a while, but yet God gave me the strength to do so. And so this is what God is saying to us, to resist the passing pleasures of sin. Now, he has given us his word that we can stand on in the process of resisting the passing pleasures of sin for a season. Now, your mind would tell you that, you know, you should do this. And matter of fact, you may even hear voices telling you that you're silly because you should always, you know, take care of your flesh, you know, take care of your feelings. But that's, you see, the Bible said we should walk by faith, not by sight. Again, sight is part of the five senses. And in the sense that the devil uses the most is your feelings. You ever notice? People say, well, I feel like going out getting high. I feel like gambling. I feel like playing pool. The devil will use, he will corrupt your feelings to get you to be a slave to your feeling, to do that which is unrighteous before God. And God wants all these things, your taste, your feeling, your eyes, to be controlled by his Holy Spirit. You know? So this way he can have full access to your heart. And you can go out and do those things that is pleasing in the sight of God. Because God is a righteous God, and he wants each and every one of us to be righteous before his holy throne. So yes, there is a cost for discipleship. The cost is you have to deny yourself. You have to crucify the old flesh when you profess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. In the book of 2 Timothy 2:19, the Word of God says, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, that everyone that named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That means you have to depart from all those sinful pleasures that you once enjoyed before you received Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. You see, because God expects more out of those who profess Jesus Christ than those who have not professed Jesus Christ. Because you see, he knows what he has given up to get you to live righteous in this life. He's given us Jesus. And before we were serving God, Jesus Christ died on our behalf. In the book of Romans 5:8, the Bible said how God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins on that cross. But don't ever think just because you are born again now and that you may be involved in a sin that you're not enjoying anymore, that God himself has turned his back on you. No, he wants you to get out of that sin. He don't love you no less now than he did before you got saved. But what it is that you have to be obedient and allow the Holy Spirit to empower you to walk away from the passing pledges of sin. Because God's judgment is on sin. There is a verse in the book of 1 John 1:9 that's for the born-again Christian. The Bible said if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, we're not going to practice sin as a way of life when you come to Christ, but what it is, you may go out and do something wrong and you don't feel good about it, and God wants you to get rid of it because, you see, God does not want to have any, he does not want you to give any place to the devil, and sin gives place to the devil. So it's to your benefit is to have this life of righteousness, to have a clean heart before God, you know, because God himself wants you to live in that righteousness. Because this is how he can protect you in a world that has been controlled by the devil. Now the Bible in the book of 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So that's when the process comes in. God himself, when we get saved, he wants us to start working on getting our minds right, getting our bodies right, and getting our lives in line with his word. That is the cost of discipleship. It's to get everything in line with God's word. The way you think, the way you behave, the way you treat others, in line with God's holy word. So this way God himself can be glorified through your life. This is why God made man to be glorified through. Sin does not glorify God. See, the word devil means a blasphemer, a person that goes out and waters down and make fun and lie and deceive. That's what Satan does. He'll go out, he'll lie against the word of God, he'll deceive people by misusing the word of God. And God himself wants us to stay away from people who carry on like that, that will go out and misuse God's word for selfish gain, which is the spirit of the devil. But God himself wants each and every one of us to know that when we come to Christ, God himself wants us to be Christ, be like Christ, having a mind of Christ. The book said in the book of Philippians 2:5. Because the person that you're listening to is the person that you would have mindset after. You listen to the word of God, you're going to have the mindset of Christ. If you listen to false religion, that mindset you would have. You listen to the teachers of Muhammad, you have the mind of Muhammad. You listen to the teachers of Ellen G. White, you have the mindset of Ellen G. White. That's just how it is. Because you're going to follow their doctrine and you're going to start doing things their way. And God wants us to follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ because he wants us to have the mindset on righteousness through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have this wonderful body that God made and has all these wonderful qualities. You can see, hear, taste, all of these things, feel. And God himself wanted to be the Lord over these things. So this way you can be a vessel that he can be glorified through. The disciple of Christ. In the book of Acts 17:26, the Bible said that the disciples of Jesus Christ were first called Christians in Antioch. So a Christian is a person who has surrendered their life to Christ. They have received God's Holy Spirit. They're doing that which is pleasing in the eyes of God. Jesus also said in the book of Matthew 5:20, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter therein. So God expects us to be more holier than the average person. You hear this term, more holier than thou? God expects you to be more holier than the average person. In the book of 1 Peter 1:16, the Bible, God said, be ye holy, for I am the Lord thy God am holy. That means you have separated yourself from the pledges of sin. That's all it means, that you're living righteous in Christ. You're not better than anybody else, you're better off. You're better off without the alcohol. You're better off without the drugs. You're better off without fornicating. You're better off without lying, cheating, and stealing. You're better off. Because now you have a foundation that God himself is pleased with, and now you know where you're going in life. It's so sad that people today in our society, they have so much to live with, but nothing to live for. Nothing to live for. Living for a thing that cannot satisfy their soul. But God himself wants each and every one of us to live for the glory of Jesus Christ. Live for him. He died for you, so now you can live for him. If you say you love Jesus Christ, prove it by your life. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, by their fruits you should know them. Every tree is known by its fruits. And God wants us to have the fruits of righteousness. So that way people can look at you and say there's something different about you. And that will be an avenue that you can use to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to an individual. You know, when I rededicated my life to the Lord back in 1981, I was known as Reverend. Every time you saw me on my job, when I wasn't working, I'm reading my Bible. And people used to call me, oh, here come Reb. Put your beer away, guys. Here come Reb. But that's, I would always talk about Christ, you know. And that's good. You should talk about Christ on your job. You should talk about Christ in the streets, you know. Trying to bring Christ in. Anytime someone is talking, you're trying to use a little means of just trying to inject him in the conversation. You find out people will walk away from you. Not too many people today want to hear about Christ when they're living in sin. I know before I got saved, don't talk to me about God. You talk about God, I'm going the other way. But you see, God changed my heart. You know, God is a good God. He is so good. You know, and he has given life. And has preserved that life in Jesus Christ. So he wants each and every one of us, no matter where you are, to come to Christ. That's one thing about Jesus Christ. He'll take you, if you're an alcoholic, come as you are. The word of God will clean you up. He'll take you as a homosexual, come as you are. The word of God will clean you up. So often people want to clean themselves up. You talk to people about Christ, I know I'm wrong, yeah. Well, I got to get cleaned up and get me a new suit and go to church. I didn't say go to church. I'm saying come to Christ. You know, I was like that. I got to get right. I know I'm wrong. Yeah, okay. I get my new suit, new pair of shoes. I want to look good when I go to church. See, we love to decorate the outer man, but the inner man is starving for the righteousness of God. Your soul is empty. Your flesh is filled with all type of food, but your soul is running on empty because your soul is separated from the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. And God wants the best for each and every one of us. He has given us the best. He wants you to have the best. So why not make that decision today? Why not come up today and open your heart up and be a disciple of Christ? And let Jesus Christ change your heart, change the way you think, change the way you live. Because this world is coming to a tragic end. It's going to get burned up in fire. Anybody who's setting their hopes on this world, it's all in vain. It's like putting money in a bag with holes in it. It's going to go right through. You're just wasting your time. Christ has a better life for you, an eternal life. There may be some here who accept Christ as the Lord and Savior, and they are backslide. Went back to the old ways. Come up front. Make a confession. Confess 1 John 1:9. Those who have not received Christ, confess Romans 10:9-10. Because God will deal with the sin issue on the day of judgment. Now, he's provided a way to deal with it now through Jesus Christ. But for those who have rejected Christ and gone the way of the wicked one, he's going to deal with you on the day of judgment. It's the wisest thing to do is to get right with God now while there's still time. Because the Bible tells us there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. There's a time to be time to be happy and there's a time to cry. And God himself wants each and every one of us because he's given us a time to repent. The Bible said in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a virgin. In the book of Ephesians 5:16. And God himself wants each and every one of us to receive the virgin Jesus Christ, who came on this earth in the flesh, the Word of God that was made flesh. So those who have not received Christ, I pray that you would come up front right now, make a commitment to receive Jesus Christ, and God himself promised to give you the blessing of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians 1:13. The Bible said in Ephesians 1:13 that ye are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise on the day of redemption, the day which you receive Christ. God himself makes sure that your soul belongs to him by the sealing of the Holy Spirit. So make that choice. Come up front. Because only God knows what would happen when you leave Grace and Hope Mission tonight. It's a lady in the Woodstock Hotel. She was in her own apartment, taking care of her own business. She was in a robe, and 1 second she was alive. A part of a crane came through her roof and killed her. So we don't know how you're going to die. People always want to wait till they get to the deathbed to make a deathbed confession. But many people have died before they made it to the deathbed. So this is why when the word of God goes out, it could be your last warning. So take heed. Become a disciple of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people, they don't mind cursing for the devil. They don't mind stealing for the devil. Now, why not be righteous for Christ? Why not stand up and do those things that is pleasing in God's sight? In God's eyes, for the Lord Jesus Christ. So the altar is open. We're going to be reading tonight from hymn number 266. Take time to be holy. Take time out to be holy, to be separated from the passing pledges of sin, to be a vessel that God can use for his glory. Hymn number 266, Take Time to Be Holy. I gotta fix your shoes. I had something else fixed, that's all right. All standing, please.
be holy, speak up with thy Lord. Abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. And run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord.
As I said before, the altar is open for those who want to make a commitment to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And let the Holy Spirit live in your heart richly and lead and guide you in God's righteousness. Because God's righteousness will endure forever. Sin will one day be destroyed in hell. And God himself wants to spare each and every one of you from the torments of hell. So this is why he has given us a way out. And that way out is through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So come up and make a commitment and receive Jesus Christ for your cleansing. In Jesus' name we pray.
Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control.
Amen. There is a cost to being a disciple of Christ, but it's worth it. It's worth leaving all to follow Jesus. The altar is still open, and we're going to ask our own dear Miss Muse to close us in a word of prayer.
Just want to ask everybody to stay in your seat after I pray so I can get back there to get your lunches to the back of the chapel. Our Father, we are thankful for the privilege we have to have been in the house of God tonight. We thank you for your precious word. And we pray, Father, that thou wouldst help each one of us to take that word and just put it within our hearts, as David said, that we might not sin against you. Lord, that you would encourage us with the word, you would teach us with the word, because we are thankful that the word did become flesh. We pray that you'll bless these who are kneeling before you tonight. Lord, that you'll just do a work of love and mercy and grace in their hearts. We pray that they may just surrender their all to you, put it all upon the altar, and see what God will do for them. Dismiss us, Lord, with your blessing, and watch over each one of us. Keep us safe. We thank you for the food. It comes from your hand, and we're grateful in Jesus' name. Amen.
After the morning ministry.